feel like the Lord gave me a message I'd like to share with us this morning. And I'd like to start out in the book of Genesis, the 13th chapter. Genesis 13th chapter. We'll start at the 5th verse. Genesis 13, verse 5. It said, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." I want to stop there. And I just want us to notice Lot. And I want to say that most people live like Lot. They live by the sight of their eyes. They follow, you know, and here it was a time for them to, their herds were great and they were kind of cramped. And Abraham said, "You choose one. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left." Abraham was the one that was called. God called him. But he gave Lot a choice. And it said he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. So it looked good. It looked like a real good place to have your flocks and your herds. And it said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But it said the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we know the end of that story of Lot, that Lot lost his wife and lost a large number of his family and his home. You know, he pitched towards Sodom. He didn't just go to Sodom to start off with. He just pitched towards Sodom. And I want to know, when we pitch our tent or our life towards the world and the things that this world has to offer, we're going to find ourselves also in trouble. We're going to find ourselves in a place of loss, spiritually speaking, when we pitch towards the world and what the world has to offer us. But there is no record here that Lot took time to pray, that Lot took time to inquire of God what God wanted him to do. It just said he lifted up his eyes and he beheld And it looked good. And that's, you know, that's what got Adam and Eve in trouble, wasn't it? They got close to the tree that God said, I don't want you to eat of this tree. They got close enough where the enemy could look at the tree. It looks good. There is more to life than just the physical. We live in a spiritual realm. We have the scriptures teach us we have an adversary, the devil, and his forces. And this, well, I don't see him. I don't see Satan with my literal eyes. But I can see his fruit. I can see the destructive forces, just like a tornado comes through and all the devastation it leaves. When the devil comes through, he leaves a path too. I can see his destruction, but I don't see him. We live in a world filled with spiritual forces of good and evil. But most of us, most people in the world, we just live by our natural senses. What we can see, what we can taste, what we can feel. And many people just like, you know, most people do what they do because it looks good to them. That's why they do what they do. Because it makes sense to them, it looks good to them. But we live in a spiritual world where there's evil sometimes behind, influences behind things or attached to things. And we have to have more than just our natural sight. We've got to have more than just our natural ability to navigate through this life successfully and be what God wants us to be. We go by the sight of our eyes, we're going to miss the mark. And we ought to, and that's a human nature, because things look good to us. We see and we look out and looks good. But Lord, help us to take time to inquire of the Lord, to seek God's will, to seek His guidance, to seek His direction. I think many times, if we'll trace failures back in our Christian life, it's probably because we went in the human. We judged by the side of our eyes. We just looked at things and we thought, that's it. And we missed it. We didn't see God's perspective. We didn't see the spiritual side of it. I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians 2. And we know the outcome of Lot, how it cost him. And it cost us too, if we just live by the sight of our eyes. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now it's talking about just the natural man within himself, just with his own mental faculties and his own eyesight and what he can feel and taste and see. He doesn't receive of the Spirit of God. You know, we have what we call the five senses that we all have. But we also have a spirit in us. And there is a spiritual knowledge that is passed. There is spiritual understanding that can be gained and given that's not based on what I see with my own eyes and my own And I want to look at this as we go through this a little bit this morning. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, if we look on above, I want to look at a few verses preceding this now. Let's look at verse 9. It said, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now this verse 14, it says the natural man, it's not talking about that we never can receive knowledge or understanding from God, because in the preceding verses, it's teaching us that we can know, that we can understand, that we can be guided and directed by God's Spirit in our lives. That we don't have to just be governed by the sight of our eyes and the lust of our flesh, but we can be guided and directed by the Spirit of God. Now he said, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." When we're born again and we give ourselves to God, God is able to give us of His Spirit, a new Spirit. And I testify when I gave my heart, and first of all, I had a dream my senior year of high school that I was lost. The Lord, in my dream, the Lord was coming back, and I was not ready to meet Him. I was unsaved, and I knew I was not ready to meet God. And in my dream, I just fell down to my knees, just like the Scripture said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and I began to pray for mercy. Well, that was a revelation of God of my spiritual condition. I was unsaved. I didn't know God. I was following and living after what Bob wanted to follow and live after. I just did what I wanted to do, just like everybody else. I had the spirit of the world. I did what the world did. I fit in with the world. But as I began to see God, it was like a light came on in my mind, and I thought, why didn't I see this before? It just, the Scriptures became so real to me, and it was like a light bulb. And I remember questioning, I thought, why didn't I know this? But it was hid from my eyes. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. It was hid from my view. I saw with my natural eyes, and I saw what I thought I wanted, and I followed the course that I thought I wanted to follow, but I had no spiritual discernment. I didn't recognize that there were spiritual things involved. And then the light came on, and I began to see, and the Lord can do that for us. Now I want to talk a little bit about Abraham in this lesson that we had about 3 Sundays ago, about him climbing Mount Moriah and offering his son to God. Now, it was an uphill climb. I want to say giving, and what it said, pray for me this morning. I feel like I'm not getting this out. But it said, in the mountain of the Lord it will be seen. When we give ourselves to God, that takes effort on our part. It's not, you know, it's not like going downhill. If you follow the world, it's just like going downhill. You just do whatever everybody else is doing. You just fit in and you kind of, everything's okay. It's easy to go downhill. But it takes effort to go uphill. It takes effort to consecrate, to give myself to God. It takes lots of effort sometimes. It takes work. Lord, I give myself, because the natural man, there's a tendency in the natural man to begin to go back and to slip back into following just the natural man. But when Abraham got there and he was willing, it said, in the mount of the Lord it will be seen. That's where he saw, and I know he saw the ram caught in the thickets, but I believe it's more than that today. That's where we see God. That's where the Lord is revealed to our understanding. That's where the Lord becomes real to us. And He answers prayer and He hears my cry and He sends me help and blessing. But it takes an effort on our part to get there sometime. Hannah Smith, in her book, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, she said, as long as one of our desires remain, there's going to be, she said, as long as one of our desires remain, there's going to be a shadow on the comprehension of God's will. In other words, as long as it's just me, I'm not going to understand. But when I give my all to God and I give myself and I present myself and I'm loving God with all of my heart, then the Lord can be revealed to me. Personally. You know, it's not just for certain people or just for the church. It's a personal revelation of God and who God is and what God wants to do in our lives. It's a revelation of the direction that God wants us to take and the gifts that He wants us to use. But it comes to that place, and I have found it in my Christian life so many times. Praying and struggling, trying to get a hold of the will of God and nothing coming. You got to go up the hill. You got to go up to Mount Moriah. You got to go to the place where you're willing. Lord, not my will. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want Your will to be done in me. As long as we're holding on to us and what we want to do, I'm not going to see it. My eyes are going to be withheld. And that's why much of the world today, there in Corinthians, when you read it, talks about the wisdom of this world. They didn't see it. Christ, the life of Christ looked like such a waste to them. It looked like such a loss. And they didn't see the value. They didn't understand what all had happened. And that's the way it is when we're just in our natural man. But if we consecrate and we give ourselves to God and we want Him more than anything else in our life, and we're putting Him first, He can be revealed to our understanding and to our hearts and our lives. And it can be real to us. I want to get another text of Scripture now in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the 24th verse. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was raised by Potiphar's daughter, or was it his wife? His daughter? Brother Galen mentioned this morning that briefly he mentioned Moses had fought in battles for Egypt. And that's what Josephus brings out, that Moses was actually a general in the Egyptian army. But something was transpiring in Moses. There was something working deeper in his heart and his life that caused him to make a choice to suffer with God's people that were slaves and in bondage under the whips of the taskmasters, to make that kind of choice. There was something that was working in his heart, in his spirit. He wasn't just looking at it from the natural standpoint. Because that's not a choice of the natural man. But the Scripture said he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he believed that there was a reward afterwards. And it says, as seeing him who is invisible. He began to have a relationship with God. Now, you know, sometimes, have you ever heard the comment, that's a no-brainer? Sometimes people have said, well, that's a no-brainer. The answer's obvious. When Moses got a hold, when he saw him that was invisible and he recognized there was a recompense coming, it was a no-brainer. The choice was obvious. The problem is, many times we don't see the spiritual side as humans. If we did, it'd be a no-brainer. Right? Who would choose a path of the world to follow sin and to follow unrighteousness and the influences of this world only to end up in a devil's hell, to be lost in the end? Who would, that's a no-brainer. But these things are withheld from the spiritual man. And we've got to make contact with God for these things to be revealed to our understanding, to our hearts and our lives. But Moses, he endured. He saw something that was beyond. And it caused him to make good choices, good decisions in life. It caused him to follow the Lord and seek God's guidance and direction in his life. Now I want to get John, the third chapter and the third verse. Gospel of John, 13th chapter. What's that? 13. John chapter 13 and verse 3. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God, and He went to God. Then He went into the Last Supper. Now Jesus, He got a revelation. He knew and He understood that He was come from God and that He went to God. and that he was going to be raised from the dead. Now, what happened when Jesus began to tell his disciples what was going to happen? Oh no. Far be it from thee, Lord. What was that? That was the natural man. And how much we're affected by the natural man. And Jesus told him, he said, thou savorest the things that be of men, and not the things that be of God. They were just viewing it from the natural standpoint. Oh, far be it from thee. This ain't going to happen. We're going to fight. We're going to fight for you. We're going to do whatever it takes. They didn't comprehend the things of the Spirit until later. Also in the book, but Jesus had this understanding. Why would somebody go through spitting, through shame, through reproach? Why would they do that? Because he had understanding of what was ahead. There's another verse in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the second verse. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He realized that there, if he could just go through the cross, there was something beyond that was worth giving his life for. And that's how he could do that. I mean, it's, you know, you look at it just from the natural man, it's a dumb choice. But he had spiritual understanding. He understood the will of God. And when we come to the place of understanding the will of God and seeing and the Lord's revealed, it becomes a no-brainer. We'd make the same choice. That's why we've got to be connected to God and have His revelations in our heart, in our lives. Now I want to go to another verse, 2 Corinthians. And I like this verse because it explains, I mean, it has a good picture. 2 Corinthians 3. And verse 12, it says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now the Jews, we recognize they were following the law. They were following what God had given them. But the Old Testament prophesied of Christ. It pointed towards Christ. But they didn't see it. Now listen to what he says. But he goes on, he says, but even unto this day... Oh no, verse 14, I'm sorry. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. See, that's what I was talking about earlier. There was a veil on my heart. There was something there that I couldn't see God. I couldn't feel God. I couldn't sense God. But when I turned to God with all of my heart, the veil was removed. And I was able to see things that I hadn't seen before. You know, our Christian life The Lord wants it to be a continual journey of revelation and knowledge in Him. He wants to continue to reveal. Now think about, He said, their minds were blinded until this day, remaineth the same veil untaken away. In the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. When we meet Christ and we give ourselves to Him, the veil on our heart is lifted and we begin to see what God has. You know, at weddings, many times the bride wears what? She wears a veil, which is symbolical. And towards the end of the wedding ceremony, the veil is pulled back so she can greet the bride. And they're able to give that kiss. The veil. It's after the vows have been said. After the giving of themselves in commitment and vow. And that's the way it is in our with God. When we come to God and we vow to Him and we give ourselves to Him through oath and commitment, the veil is lifted off of our heart. And we can see and we can know Christ. And He can reveal Himself to us in our hearts and our lives. And how wonderful it is. Now, let's go to John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter, in the 21st verse. It says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Now, who is this? It is somebody that has entered into covenant with God. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now listen to what Judas said. He said, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And this word manifest, what is that? Manifest. It means to make plain, to make known, to be revealed. You know, I am so encouraged this morning with the Lord and the Lord's way that He can reveal Himself to us. And we want to wait on that. We want to expect that. We want to pray that way with confidence and exercise faith, that God will reveal Himself to me. When I come to crossroads and I come to junctions in my life and where decisions and choices need to be made, that God will reveal Himself to me. That He will make plain, that He will... And it be, when the Lord does, it becomes a no-brainer. When we begin to see through the Spirit, it just may... And to the world, it looks like, what are you doing? It's because they don't see. The veil is upon the heart. They haven't given their heart and life to Christ. They haven't entered into covenant with Him, and it just looks foolish. That's what these verses are saying to the world. But you know, to most of the world, this looks so dumb. Coming together, we sing songs, we get on our knees and pray, and we have preaching and testimonies. We deny ourselves of influences of the world that are evil. And they think it's so strange. It's so different. But the Lord can. When our eyes are opened, it becomes a no-brainer. But we need this. You know, I felt that when I was saved. I felt the veil was lifted and I was able to see. But I have had all through my life, I've had to have times where I needed a revelation. I needed to know the will of the Lord. I needed to know God. And you know, the Lord has that for all of us. And I remember too, as a child one time, I remember God revealing Himself to me. He can reveal Himself to children when they begin to seek out and search for God with their hearts and their lives. He can be revealed to us. He said, "He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him." I just recently read there in the other day about when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He told them, He said, "How often I would have gathered you as a chicken doth her hen, her chicks, under his wings. But He said, you would not." And he went on, he said, "The things that belong to your peace are now hidden from your eyes, because they knew not the time of their visitation." They had a visitation from God. God was drawing them, God was talking to them, God was working with them. But they didn't receive it. And He said, "Now these things, they're hid from your..." And you know, to the general population of the Jewish people, it was hid from their eyes. And they failed to recognize and failed to see the plan of salvation, even though it was right there in front of them. Their eyes was withheld. Is God a respecter of persons today? I don't believe He is. It says, "In every nation, them that fear Him are accepted of Him." And the Scriptures bring out... So it's not that there's just some that God reveals Himself to and He doesn't to others. There has to be a spiritual aptitude. There has to be a connection with God. And when the connection is there, the Lord is able to reveal Himself to us. I just want to encourage us today to hold on to God in faith, trusting, because the Lord can answer prayer. He can help us. He can be revealed and show us things that He wants us to do. The Lord has, I believe the Scriptures bring out that kind of a relationship. And I've had times where I had God reveal things to me that I didn't... There's no way I could have got it in my human... It just clicked. And you felt the Spirit of God and the voice of the Lord. I remember one time I was praying in my study when we lived there at Guthrie, and I was seeking God for the will of the Lord. I was praying in study, and Bobby Dean came across the porch. We had an old wooden porch with the mail. Our mailbox was on the house, and he came across the front porch. And I was in the front study and praying. He didn't know. But the Lord spoke to me. As I heard His steps going across the... The Lord spoke to me and said, "I have a message in the mail for you." And I got excited. And you know what happened? There was a message in the mail for me. And I was barely acquainted with this person, but they sent me a track. And in this track was the same thoughts that God had been talking to me about all week long. It was just like a confirmation. And I know God can... And I want to encourage us today to hold on. Be patient. Keep believing, have faith and trusting that God is able to reveal Himself. And keep climbing those steps. giving ourselves to Him, presenting ourselves to Him and devoting our lives to Him, keep climbing that narrow path upward, because in the mountain of the Lord it will be seen. It will be revealed to us. And then we can walk when the Lord reveals it's right. It brings good fruit. It blesses. It strengthens. And it's an encouragement. The Lord, that the Holy Spirit does not lead erringly. He's not a faulty leader. He doesn't misfunction. It's always right. It's always on target. If we can just get in that vein of where He's at, it will be victory. It will be successful. It will be what God wants it to be. Christ wants to be revealed to us. He wants to be glorified in our hearts and in our lives today. Amen. Pray for me.